No.
Philosophy? Is it attitudes towards Cuba? What
it's a number of things. I think it's, if there is a generalization that we can make about the Cuban community is that it's pluralistic internally as American society is.
Is it generational?
To some extent. It's political to some extent. It's socially to some extent. It's cultural to some extent. You cannot pinpoint it. Rebozo, commissioner of the city of Miami, member of the Democratic Party, just recently elected commissioner to the city of Miami. Where does he get his support, his backing? Well, among the community, he has a great deal of backing because he is a commissioner of the city of Miami.
Are you going to need a candidate? I don't want to even throw one of you that is charismatic, but somebody who can unite that whole community won't work that way.
I don't think it'll work.
Well, first of all, yeah, the way to do that is to get a candidate from the community, but then unite it.
You see, one of the ways to really polarize the community, which is what you're seeking, you're talking about, would be to get an individual who came out with an anti-American stand, you see. Local. I don't mean against the United States. I mean anti-establishment stand. So you see those bastards over at the county commissioner. You see that guy Ray Good and so on and so on. Get an object of affection, an object of hate, and have the community react negatively to that. That is possible where you have individuals who take the point of view that their county is theirs and that they're not going to let go of the power, nor are they going to share it with anybody else. That's a possibility. The community may become polarized.
And if it does... Do you see that happening?
Well, I don't think so.
Could be polarized and around alienation.
But, yeah, that's another possibility, except, you know, that I don't think that in reality we have been... Let's face it, we have had a fairly...
Have you got a bastard like that you can polarize and
dirty against? Well, we have a couple of guys locally, you know, that we could... point to and do that. It hasn't reached a stage where you can get the whole community together. I don't think so.
Would have happened.
And furthermore, I think that responsible leadership wouldn't go that way. I, for one, wouldn't like it.
If that route is not open because it's irresponsible, what route is open? If you're going to work as a bloc, you got to act as a bloc. And you can basically do that around candidates better than you can party organizations.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a piecemeal type of approach. In other words, little by little, you get this position today, you get that position tomorrow. And the conquest of power and participation in the local society on the basis of win a skirmish, win a battle tomorrow, and eventually you'll win the war. I don't want to see the community divided into Anglos and blacks and Cubans, because I think in the long run this would be inimical to the community, to my children.
That means coalition, then, doesn't it?
Of course, and I'm in perfect agreement with that. Basically, what I'm saying is that those elements who still maintain.
Put the sugar again, huh?
I don't use sugar.
Oh, okay. Right.
What would have happened if Lou Delaporte had run for the Senate insofar as the Cuban community was concerned?
In all probability, he would have had a tremendous substantial support behind him. Both from Republicans and Democrats. And not only the ethnic identity.
But how about in the primary, though? What would have happened? Would the Republicans have switched registration?
No, I don't think it would go as far as that. Aside from the fact that people are not fully aware of the fact that they can switch registration, they are not familiar with what a close primary means. They're not fully educated in terms of the American political process. Well, hell, this is nothing new. Some of my kids at college are not fully educated into what the American political process is. They're not fully aware of what a close primary is, what is the importance of registering one party or the other one. So I'm not surprised.
So strategically, the way to get at this thing is to build a coalition behind a couple of candidates and then be successful with that and then sort of prove to the rest of the community that it can be done that way?
That's right.
Is that the strategy?
I think this would be a good strategy. For example, Commissioner Gibson from the city of Miami, the last election ran for commissioner of the city of Miami. Over 50% of the money that he got, campaign funds, he's a Democrat. He's a black man. Over 50% of the money that he got from the Cuban community. Now, we haven't been able to switch that around. I think the Cubans are much more receptive to the idea of a black representing them than the blacks are to the idea that a Cuban should represent them.
Is it possible to polarize the community around an issue other than foreign policy?
It is quite possible that this may happen. I hope it doesn't. Because polarization is fairly easy, but depolarization is a lot more difficult.
Are there any political or voting behaviors that were peculiar to Cuba that were carried over here by these people? I mean, a way of looking at politicians or a way of thinking about the political process different?
The older generation tends to view such things as Watergate with a somewhat skeptical attitude, that's politics and what have you. The younger generation tends to be as shocked as American kids are. I think in that respect, the Cuban community is very much like the Anglo community.
You expect a little corruption with your politics?
That's right. That's right. By the older people. After all, the politicians. The younger generation, it's a little bit different.
Any other differences between those two generations?
I told you before, their attitudes regarding freedom to dissent, for example, the right to be open-minded. The older generation tends to be more conservative, streaking in the campuses. The older generation, good heavens, what's this country coming to? The younger generation says it's a passing fad. This is indicative to some extent of the differences between the two.
Would that make it difficult to put together a political coalition, because you have essentially conservative Cubans, philosophically, trying to coalesce with Democrats who are basically liberal?
Here in Dade County, we don't have any liberal Democrats, Frank.
Strike that. No. More liberal than the Republicans.
Yeah, well, it's possible. It's possible, and I'll tell you why it's possible. Because, again, we're talking about generations. Force lies not with the older generation in terms of voting power, but it lies with the one that is coming up. The Democratic Party has a great opportunity now in 1974 to begin to work for 1976 and provide opportunities for the Cubans locally to have some representation. Now, we don't want to control the whole area. It's far from our ideal. We just want to participate. And that means that we have to have representation at the local level. We have to have representation in the county commission. We have to have representation in the city of Miami. We have to have representation everywhere, including, of course, Tallahassee. And if we don't get that, if we don't get that type of activity on the part of the Democratic Party to go out and say, we're interested in you people, we want to help you, what will happen is that the greater majority of the Cubans will continue to register in the Republican Party. And there will be nobody else's responsibility but that of the Democratic Party. Now, I'm seeing signs.
If that's the case, you could end up with a Republican office holders in Miami and Dade County.
And that is exactly what is happening. It was inconceivable 10 years ago that a Republican would be elected to any type of office here from Lake County. Well, today they have two congressmen, two representatives, and one senator. And they're moving up. Why? Because they're conservative, they're highly organized, and they know how to move in politics. They know where power is moving to. And they're getting ahead. They have the foresight to say, come on in. We want you.
Is there any statewide political action group of Spanish-speaking Americans like LAUPA or some of the other states?
For La Raza, for example, not now. We are hoping that this Hispanic American Council of Florida, which we have here locally, will be able to tie in with Hispanic Americans in Key West and in Tampa, in St. Augustine, in Orlando, so that we can create a statewide coalition. But we don't want to stress too much the question of the ethnic group, because that may backfire.
Who is the key man in the Democratic Party in all of this? The governor?
Do you mean to statewide? To bring this about? I think, to some extent, the governor. Of course, he's probably going to get reelected in November. Another key individual, as far as the party is concerned, would be Mallory.
Oh, how's he key?
If he gets the nomination for the Senate and runs and gets elected against Kearney, he would be a very influential figure. And I know that Mallory, though he comes from the panhandle, it's progressive thinking in terms of local politics. He's shown that.
How about Pettigrew?
Well, the problem with Dick Pettigrew is that I like him dearly. He's a good friend of mine and all of that, but he's too liberal. And he's too liberal for up north, and you cannot win the state exclusively on the basis of Dade County, because our people down here don't go out and vote in 80%, 90%. You don't have that type of turnout. You're lucky if you get a 40% turnout down here. And the primary is closer to 20%. You can't win the state of Florida. You can't win the nomination on that basis.
You support Mallory?
And obviously the reason for my support of Mallory is Lou. Because Lou supports Mallory.
Oh, he does.
Aside from the fact that Lou is the only one in the state who has really worked for us since we came over. He's the only politician statewide who has really taken an interest in this community, even though he's from Tampa. But he has worked, his office has always been open to us. He says, work his rear end off to provide assistance to us and give us all kinds of help in Tallahassee. So whatever Lou says, I'm going with Lou. And I only hope that what the gossip that is going around now turns out to be true. That Ruben is going to pick him as his running mate. Because I think he'll make one hell of a lieutenant governor. And he's one heck of an honest man. The parties. The time that he's been in
state... He told us he wouldn't accept it. But we took that with a large grain of salt.
It'd be a mistake on his part, and I told him, because Ruben has a great chance for 76 to getting the ticket. I don't know whether Ruben will go as the vice presidential candidate or not, you know. But if he does, Lou will become the governor of the state, and he'll make a darn good governor because he works like the Dickens, and he is for all the people. He's one of our ethnic group, you know. He's of Spanish background and all that, but in all honesty, I've never heard Lou come out and say, gee, I'm Spanish, gung ho, you know? Right on, brother, that type of thing. He's for everybody. But he hasn't neglected, he hasn't forgotten us. And if Lou was running for office, I'll be out there pounding the pavement right now, getting money right and left for him. Because he's the type of individual who has worked for us. Now, you can understand on that basis why it is that the Republicans are making some headway locally. You go up to Washington, you see a Republican up there. Mitchell, Stan, and all that. You don't like the son of a bitch. You don't have to live with him. But he's the type of guy who can say, gee, we got a group of Cubans on there, and we need to help those poor bastards. Let's help them out. Let's provide some type of assistance for them. That's sound politics. I thought, you know, it would be a great feud over the president saying those jackasses down there and all that. Nothing happened. Deep in their heart, they still like Nixon.
How about Gurney?
I bought some dessert. Gurney whom? Would you like a little dessert? From a political point of view, will depend to a large extent on the type of leadership that we're capable of developing from within our community. And that's what I was saying a little while back. The idea of responsibility that we have. Okay, I know, I witnessed it. I know what we went through in Cuba. I know what can happen. That's why I'm not pulling out of this one. I'm going to be in there. I may not be running, but if I'm not running, I'm going to pick a darn good candidate, somebody that we can trust, somebody that will work for the community, to run in my place.
What are the options you see? I mean, if you figure out, you know, 5 years from now, where could the Cuban community in Miami be? One, they could be where they are now, divided to some extent, predominantly Republican, but unsure where they're going still. That's one option. What are the other options?
We will continue to be divided, because in essence we're not divided. What we are is pluralistic.
Okay.
In other words, you don't find, you won't see, and I could drive you around, you won't see the Cuban community fighting with each other. Well, we have our minor squabbles, you know, and so on and so on. But it's not the type of thing that the community is split right down the middle. I haven't seen that. And this will probably have 5 years from now. It's in our character to be like that. Very individualistic. And you may be a friend of mine, and you may be a leader and what have you, and I have a great deal of respect for you, and so on and so on. You press me a little bit hard, and you push me a little bit hard, and I'm going to send you to go jump in the lake. So I think the characteristics of that type of division, you know. Again, we have a propensity in the United States to look to ethnic groups and say, who leads that community? Who's the boss? Mark Hanna. All right. Fitzgerald, you talk to that guy, simplifies matters. That's not true, and I doubt that it's going to be true in the Cuban community. Even Ferrer, for example, who's the mayor of Miami, doesn't have that kind of control so that he can say, I speak for everybody, and whatever I say goes. And this is not true. So 5 years from now, you'll have that. Unless the Democratic Party begins to move at the local level, provide some help, train leaders within the party itself to run for office, the Republicans are going to steal the show from them. And what will happen is that you will have locally a strong Republican Party that will challenge the Democrats throughout, and needless to say, will get an awful lot of people elected, as they have been doing. Just place yourself in the situation of being a candidate. A party coming up to you and saying, we want you to be on our ticket, and we'll give you the ticket, the slot, without opposition, and we'll give you the money, and we'll give you the support, and we'll give you the organization. Now, it takes an awful lot of gumption, you know, and party affiliation to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
And why couldn't somebody say, okay, I'll take that?
But they have.
You Republican or Democrat, the point is you end up in a position of leadership.
Yeah, but they have. But what I'm saying is, if these things happen, if you get this type of offers from the Republican Party,
that strengthens the party and the Cuban community.
And if the Democratic Party doesn't deliver, it doesn't come through with something similar to that. If the Democratic Party says, fine, you're a Cuban and all that, but you're on your own, you raise your own money, we won't give you any help whatsoever, we'll sit by and let the whole thing go. There won't be any type of development, pro-democratic party development in the local community. The Republicans will steal it.
Where do Cubans get their information about politics? Basically from the papers here? How does that work?
The most influential... Tráeme uno a mí también, por favor. The most influential members at the present time. Sí. Espérate, déjame comer un pedacito, ¿viste? The most important spokesman, element of the news media right now is radio. WQBA, La Cubanísima.
That's a Cuban?
Cuban radio station. WFAB, La Fabulosa. That's another Cuban. It's owned by Americans, but it's run by Cubans. WOCEAN, Ocean. That's another one. We have four radio stations.
Has that become a Cuban station?
Mm-hmm. It's run by Paul Bethel, but...
Is there an emphasis on those stations on Cuban, the mainland Cuban, motherland Cuban news?
Mm-hmm.
What about in the coverage of say, state politics?
Very little.
Very little?
Almost absent. None whatsoever.
Why is that?
Because the process, we haven't reached a stage yet when people begin to see their relationship as a citizen of the community in terms of the state or in terms of the local government. I go out there, out the door, and I stand out there and talk to three or four of my friends who go by, and I start telling them about Castro and Cuba and all of that, and before you know, we'll have a crowd. Yeah, that guy. They get all excited. If I talk about Ray Good, they'll filter. We'll see you later. That hasn't come about yet, but it's coming.
Hmm? When that comes, of course, then the media will change. But what about in the what about the newspapers?
We're writing
radio. Radio is the principal medium for receiving political information. What do newspapers do?
For example, our particular newspaper, which is Diario Las Americas, who's more concerned with anything American news than with local news. That's one of the criticisms that they have. There's very little local news. The news that they have from a local point of view, it's pictures of Ferrey, you know. Yeah. Very little of the issues. I'm one of the first who is beginning to bring out this sort of thing, you know, to take a critical attitude of the County Commission at times, a critical attitude of the county manager. But, for example, I write an article about the history of Cuba when the Indians were in the island and so forth and so on, and I get five phone calls from people who read me, people that I don't know. This man here, the waiter, when I came in today, I don't know the guy. And he said, I'm Dr. Anguera, I'm expecting some friends and so forth. No, there is an Anguera by that name who writes in the newspaper. Yours truly. Oh, doctor, so on and so on. He gets all excited if I write an article which is of a cultural context. And he might be the type of person to call me. Call me at my house because I have my phone, my name and telephone number on the telephone book. It pays. And they'll call me and they'll let me know how much they like the article. An article on Mother's Day, how beautiful and so on and so on. I'd write an article about Ray Good. Don't get any calls. They still are not...
Ray Good is what, chairman of the...
The administrator, the manager.
County manager?
Yeah, right. I wrote an article and I said, look, watch out, this guy's going to raise our taxes in November. The old son of a gun, look what he's up to. No reply. And this is a hot issue locally. If I had written something like that in the Miami Herald, I would have had a dozen letters. But... It's not yet. We haven't reached yet the point where we are truly involved in the universality of politics. We're still very much hampered by this idea of reacting in politics in terms of what is happening in Cuba, the State Department, foreign policy, that type of thing. But it's coming because people are becoming much more aware and we have groups and people are talking about it. Things are changing. Changes will not happen overnight, though.
How about John Moyle? Has he expressed any interest in the Cuban community in Miami as far as the Democratic Party of Florida?
Mm-mm.
Should he?
It seems to me that anyone who has any type of local or statewide dreams, objectives, would do well to begin to take into account the local community here. This is a powerful community from an economic point of view. I wish you had more time that I could take you around and show you what is going on. in a matter of 10 years, the county is going to be owned by Cuban Americans. I mean, literally. And then this is going to be a gravitating force for the rest of the Hispanic Americans throughout the state.
Well, if they're going to own it economically, then the political power can't be far behind.
Now you're looking into the future. All right? See what happens. The Cubans are making money right and left. The gross income of our community at the present time is in excess of $1 billion a year. Now, you don't say much.
How does that compare with the economy of Cuba?
Oh, heck. There's no comparison whatsoever. You got the professional class of Cuba here. Okay, the cream of the crop is what came over initially.
You want coffee?
The other thing is, what happens to the Cuban globally? They're very conservative as far as investments are concerned. They make money. When they make money, instead of investing in the New York stock market, New York Stock Exchange, American Stock Exchange, they want to invest their money locally where they can see it, okay, across the street. Take a look at that building over there. You come back 10 years from now, you won't recognize this area brand because the Cubans are buying up the properties right and left, all over the place, and they're rebuilding. There is a massive urban renewal program going on.
Privately, you mean?
Yeah. Financed by the Cubans.
You think it's going to be possible to coalesce, you know, the Cubans in Tampa and St. Petersburg and so on, are second and third generation Democrats and with a different background, much different socioeconomic background than the Cubans here, to coalesce that group statewide?
I don't know.
And here, basically, you've got a different socioeconomic group, the professional, refugees in a sense, Republican.
I don't know.
Bring that together politically?
I don't know whether we will be able to do that. I don't know whether this will become a reality, but we're going to try. Obviously, the group in Tampa is entirely different. The Lewis ancestors in Tampa are very much like my own. His father is very much like my own. Hardworking people, you know, manual laborers. My father was a fish peddler. But the migration to Tampa was somewhat different than the migration to Miami, because what was brought from Cuba was the best of Cuba, the cream of the crop. After that, you know, we had fishermen come over and people of the lower classes, the guys that are playing the bongo there and what have you. But the skills, training skills, capacity, professionals, the physicians, the attorneys, the guy who serves us, the waiter, he's an attorney from Cuba. So, the skills which we brought up have been put to good use in different areas. It's a different type of individual than the one that you find in Tampa. So, we may have a situation where there would be a clash of personalities, not being able to get along.
If you ended up with a control, first of all, of the Miami City government, perhaps in Dade County, you could end up with a minority or an ethnic group. Very conservative in his political philosophy, which would be atypical of what happened to other ethnic or minority groups in this country. I don't know if I made any sense with that.
Yeah, right.
You understand what I'm saying?
You sure do. You sure do. Again, consider that the development, the political development of this group in the United States, of our group in the United States, has been somewhat different than the other migrations that the United States had.
It's not the same kind of dispossessed group. It's not dispossessed in terms of socioeconomic status or skills as other migrant groups.
And no other migrant group has received the receptivity, friendliness, the interest right off the bat from a major political party than we have had. All right? In other words, you sort of ended up in the Democratic Party because that's it, the party of the poor people and what have you, so on. Here we find we've had an entree with the President of the United States. He's created a committee for the Spanish-speaking cabinet committee for the Spanish speaking, and he's named two people from Miami, two Cubans, to serve on that committee. Iberga, who passed away recently, Dr. Butari, is also on that committee. Local Republicans, they have any problem, they call the White House. They say, look, we got problems. Come on up, we'll talk to you. The president comes down, this group races $350,000 and $500,000 for the presidential campaign. It's a two-way deal. I don't like it. I'm a Democrat. I don't like it. But these are the facts of life. We asked the county manager, the Ray Good, who's a Democrat. We asked him to grant us an appointment to see him and tell him about the needs of the community. We want to talk to him. We're taxpayers. His secretary says that the county manager, unfortunately, will not grant us an appointment unless we put in writing aforehand what things we want to discuss with him. We didn't shoot the governor. We were up there in Tallahassee, you know. We didn't place a bomb in his office. We didn't shoot him. On the other hand, we took a box of cigars, which he enjoyed very much. We thank him for an appointment to the school board that he made of Alfredo Duran. Why should this guy be scared of the group down here? We want to work with him. We don't want a whole pie. We want a piece of the pie.
You're saying, though, that if in what I think is an unlikely event, that the governor were to pick Lou Delaporte as his running mate and he would accept, that would result in telescoping all the potential for coalition almost immediately.
I think locally, Lou Delaporte would have a tremendous...